Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, g'day, Roo. After a long weekend, how are you?
Very good, thank you, Dits.
What'd you get up to?
What did I get up to? What did we have? Footy Friday night, then we had Premiership reunion on Saturday, which
was the one you didn't play in?
Yeah, but I...
What were you doing there?
Oh, I was sort of helping out, making sure they're okay. And that went for a fair while, and then had a lazy day Sunday after that, and then a family day yesterday.
Ah, so how did all the 97 boys go on the weekend?
Yeah,
have a good time?
Very good. Yeah, it was, had a good turnout, and...
Who was someone that you hadn't seen for like 10 years? Who rolled up and...
Hadn't seen Chad Rintoul for a long, long time.
Does he live in Perth?
He lives up at Exmouth, up at the northwest shelf up there. Yeah, it was good to catch up with a lot of people and find out what they're doing. And most people have gone from having no kids back then to everyone having kids and married and all of that sort of thing. So it was really good to catch up with the blokes and, have a good day together. A lot of fun.
Did Blighty come?
Blighty couldn't get back for some reason. He had something on, but... Yeah, but we had fun without him, even though we would have had fun with him there. But no, it was a really good weekend, so good fun. What did you get up to down at Goolwa?
Yeah, I went down to Goolwa, yes. Saturday, watched the lads play soccer. They went down to Goolwa and just relaxed.
I heard you had a bit of fun at soccer too.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story a little bit later on. I've been embarrassed, actually. But yeah, something happened on the weekend.
You went...
yeah, when you embarrass your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. I did on the weekend. I'll tell you about it later on. What's coming up today, Ruth?
We've got Tex Walker coming in today, actually.
Yeah,
they've got the bye this week. They had a good win on Friday night, sitting up on top of the ladder after GWS had a loss to Carlton. That was a handy one for the Crows. We're going to have a chat to John Rowe later on, too, about bailing laws or bail for criminals.
Well, this is on the back of last week where he was in our press saying the Prime Minister should keep out of these issues. Because you remember Malcolm Turnbull wanted to come in and change the laws and basically John Rowe, as our Attorney General said, leave it up to the legal fraternity.
Yeah.
And I want to know why. Why can't the Prime Minister come in over the top?
Yeah, because I thought it was a good thing that he did do that, because that's what everyone's thinking at the moment.
All right, so a big show coming up. It's Ruined Dits on this Monday morning, Tuesday morning. It's a Tuesday morning. You've got to keep remembering. 18 today and mostly sunny.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:11, Ruined Dits. It is on this Tuesday morning after a great long weekend, all thanks to Adelaide Tools. I saw Marissa down at Goolwa from Adelaide Tools.
She runs the show.
The old man was away. Hey, the old man was away fishing in Tumby Bay. She was playing up. She was having a couple
of
wines.
Don't you dare talk about Marissa like that. It'll get back.
Now, what's making news, Ru?
Oh, the big freeze at the MCG yesterday was a great success. I watched all the Australian sports people go flying into the ice. They hit the ice and they hardly sunk. They had that much ice in the water. That was good. The old Lele went down the slide and got cold. And they raised a couple of million bucks, which is a fantastic effort again. Which
but you see where the government topped it up, though. It's over 4 million.
Well, that's extraordinary, isn't it? It's a great cause. And Neil Danaher, he just couldn't do any more. It's been unbelievable how he's... Basically, put his life to trying to help everyone's future.
Well, you know, MND. Yesterday we had the honours list. I'll tell you what, if he's not Australian of the Year, I don't know who else is. And the reason I say that is, okay, he's lucky he's got a profile, right? When I say lucky, oh God, how could I say he's lucky? But you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
He's got the profile.
No, he's using his profile.
Using his profile. But I said to you Friday, I cannot believe a bloke, he just laughs all the time. He's positive. Ooh. He's so upbeat about, well, I'm just helping other people. And I cannot believe that in his time of need and in desperate times for him, he doesn't know how long he's got to live. In fact, he should have passed away by now.
Yeah.
I can't believe how positive and how happy and friendly that bloke is.
Yep.
And if he's not Australian of the Year,
he'll win something. But we all know that's not why he's doing it. But he deserves to, and he probably will. And you know what he hopefully is doing is making a difference for anyone who gets MND in the future.
Yeah.
I know they've found a few little bits and pieces that they're working on to try and make some improvements in that area. So. Good luck to him. Another big day yesterday, so well done.
Now, just on a sour note, has Carrie Bickmore made a bit of a mistake here?
Well, they're saying the fact that she sort of started her beanie campaign, which has been around for a couple of years as well, started it yesterday.
Yeah, she's copped it on social media. And,
yeah, I don't...
But she, I mean, there'd be no malice or nothing disrespectful or deliberate there, surely. I mean, she's only trying to
raise money for brain cancer.
I know.
How can you have a go at anyone trying to do that?
People have pounced on her.
Yeah, but, you know... Those people probably never raised any money themselves, either Dits or she's probably put a, she's probably got a massive amount of money riding on all these beanies that she's got in, and as soon as you get them in, she probably just wants to sell them. She probably thought all Neil's beanies are sold, which they were.
Well,
I don't know. It's a different
market too. Like, he's captured all of the football people that were at the MCG yesterday, everyone watching around Australia on Channel 7. And she, people that watch the project, I mean, are non, you're talking about the entire public, non-football people, everyone. So it's probably a total different market as well.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. I think she's trying to do the right thing. She's been through enough herself.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have a go at her for anything.
Now, something I'm very, very happy about, Roo. When you were young, Paul McCartney's on his way to Australia. This is unbelievable.
Where's he going to play? Have you had a look?
Albert and Oval. I don't know. I know that he's in Melbourne, but I'm not sure if there's an Adelaide date. But, gee, I'll be going along. I just think the Beatles, to me, are still number one by an absolute mile. Mm. And when he took off and started Wings, gee, they had some great albums. Band on the Run and Venus and Mars. I love them. So
you'll be front and centre?
I will be. I'll be heading over.
No matter where they are?
Tickets will be about $20, won't they?
Yeah, they'll be cheap.
$19.99?
Yeah.
Front row. All right. I'll be heading off to see Paul McCartney. You coming with me, Roo?
I'll be with you, Dits.
All right.
You can shout, though.
All right. That's what's making news around the place. It's Roo and Dits here. Thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Oh, not in the studio this morning. I wonder where he is. Let's find out. Tex Walker, good morning.
Morning, Ruin Ditch. How are you?
Good, Tex.
Whereabouts
where
are you?
I'm up in Sydney. We've got 4 days off, so lovely Ellie bought me a bridge climb 2 years ago, so we've snuck up here for a couple of days. We're going to climb the bridge this morning.
Ah, good stuff, Tex. And what's the weather like over in Sydney?
It's actually not too bad. I got a round of golfing yesterday, and it was about 19:20 and blue skies, which was a bit different to the last couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, what do you like with heights?
Heights? I had a bit of a sleepless night last night, Dits.
You're a bit scared.
I am a bit probably not scared, but looking forward to it, but a bit nervous.
Okay, and so you got 4 days off, having a few days in Sydney, and then what, back to training Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, we're back to training Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we've got a Thursday night game coming up, so we have to train over the weekend, which would be nice, but enjoying this little break, much needed.
When you say that, so the modern player really does need to get away. You think these buys are a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's a great concept from the AFL, having a little break during the year. I'm certainly physically and mentally I'll run down probably a bit far, but you're always looking forward to the break and getting away and getting out of the routine.
You'd have been happy with the first half on Friday night, Tex. A few people queried the way the Crows were going leading into it, but you blew them out the water and got the job done. And you yourself, I thought you played very, very well in that first half when the game was there to be won.
Yeah, it was a great win. Obviously, we got smacked during the week, which wasn't nice, but I thought we were able to show a mature, consistent game on the weekend across the board. Probably our last quarter, we're a bit disappointing, but for the first three quarters, was super impressive.
It's going to be good. The week's coming up too, Tex. You got McGovern ready to go. I don't know about season, how far away he is, but certainly Mitch McGovern looked okay on the weekend, and he would slot back in, you would think.
Yeah, those boys played well on the weekend, and I went along and watched them. It was actually a great game at the parade. The boys got up by 2 points, so we've got some boys playing some great footy, and I'm sure Gov will, I think he ended up kicking 4 goals on the weekend. So his name will come up at selection next week, Ditch.
Mm. How did young Jarman go? I heard he played a reasonable game as well.
Not as good as his old man was at the Amber on Saturday.
No, he's not ready to play that well yet.
Root, can you remember seeing me at the Amber on Saturday, Root?
Yeah, of course I can. I was in control.
I was just checking.
Right. Oh, come on. What can you tell us, Tex?
Geez, I tell you what, I was like a little kid. I used to be a Crow supporter, Dits, and got to see the 97 Premiers, and Aaron Keating thought he'd nuzzle his way into all the boys' girlfriends and have a chat to them.
Can I tell you as well, Tex, what do you think about a bloke sort of hanging on that wasn't even in the Premiership, you know, just sort of freeloading and hanging on their coattails? Is that normal behaviour or not?
Oh, well, he's got one more medal than I do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, about turn up when it is your Premiership reunion, though.
It's hosting.
Oh, were you? All right.
So
fair enough.
Mods.
Yeah. All right, Tex, stay on the line. We got more for Tex Walker in just a moment.
104.7 Triple M.
Tex!
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Tex Walker's on the line there in Sydney, he and the beautiful Ellie, and they're about to climb the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Fantastic. Now, Tex, you know, your form was questioned going into the game on the weekend. We've got a bit of audio. This is your teammate, Sauce Jacobs, speaking on Triple M on the weekend. Might explain a few things.
Hey, Sauce, you know I've got nice intel into the Adelaide setup.
Yep.
And I understand that my man Texan is now completely loved up to the point where it's embarrassing. His behaviour's become embarrassing. As part of the leadership group, you've had to go to him and say, listen, you just got to back off with all of the bloody infatuated with your bride sort of stuff.
You're spot on, JB. And the other thing is he's actually taken a bit of a back seat as well. It's almost Ellie sort of, you know, becoming a bit more of a bigger dog than Tex in this town. So she was the face of the races and things like that. So maybe Tex is second fiddle at the moment.
There you go, Tex. Whoa. Too many PDAs, apparently.
I haven't built my girlfriend a house yet,
Sauce. What's Sauce been? What's he done? Built a new house.
For yeah, for easy.
Sauce would never have said that if he knew you were going to ever hear it, would he? He would never do anything wrong.
Exactly right. He's loved by all, Sauce. I bloody love the big fella.
So there's no truth in it, Tex?
Well, I'm loved up.
You wear the pants, do you?
He's loved up.
Oh, come on, Dits.
Nah, everyone
I
knows.
I can't believe you even asked that.
Oh, righto. Fair enough.
Do you?
Sometimes. I do think Ellie's getting a fair bit of airtime these days. She's starting to take over this town.
Please.
Don't get him angry, Dits. Don't get him angry, Dits.
Go on, Dits.
I know it's a touchy subject.
Really touchy. Oh, jeez.
Now, Tex, give us the program then. What are you going to do in Sydney over the next couple of days?
So we'll do the bridge climb this morning and then... very cruisy afternoon. Caught up with some friends over on Sunday, and I went and had a round of golf yesterday at Eleanora Golf Club, which was beautiful out there.
Yeah.
So just very cruisy, mate. Nothing, no real agenda. Just enjoying the time off.
Good. Have a rest. Get the.
Haven't had lunch with Kurt Tippett or anything. Not catching up with him.
No, I think he's been catching up with David Noble or Damien Hardwick.
Oh, I reckon he's going to Brisbane.
Righto.
I'll be looking to trade him. Hey, your next game's Hawthorn next Thursday. That'll be a big game, Thursday night footy, Texan.
Yeah, I can't wait. I don't think we've had a Thursday night game this year. So I'm sure the Adelaide Oval will be pumping. And they're still going okay, Hawks, albeit they're where they are on the ladder. But I think they're still playing some good footy. So we're going to have to come off the bye in red hot form and... get the job done, Roo.
How was the celebrations with Jono Beach? It was, even Bruce McAvaney said he hadn't seen anything like it for a long time. It was all 18 players ran over to him. It was brilliant after he kicked that goal. And then in the rooms afterwards, the Gatorade chair singing the song was the most passionate I've seen for a while as well.
Yeah, look, his story is amazing. And if you sort of understand where he's come from, and obviously his mum passing last year was... very sad for the family, and all his old man and brothers and family were there to watch him on the weekend, and for him to kick that goal was, Charlie, I think he wanted to get five tackles, not four. He like, jumped straight onto him, and it just goes to show that our footy club, we've got a great culture, and we love We love debutants.
No, he did well. He did very, very well. Righto, Tex, before you leave us and go and climb the Harbour Bridge, have you got a dad joke for us?
I was just looking on Instagram. There's a nudist convention on in Adelaide this week.
Good, right.
Good.
I might go if I don't have anything on.
You are an idiot, Tex, seriously. Yeah. You're captain of that club. I don't know. Hey, well done, mate. Enjoy your time off and good luck next week.
Thanks, boy.
Have a good few days, mate.
There you go. The loved up Tex Walker and Ellie.
Enjoying a few days in Sydney. Why wouldn't you in the middle of the year?
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:54, Roo, I need help quickly. This is
what do you need?
Saturday night, all the family's out to tea, and the father-in-law, he ordered butterfish, and as you do, I said, what is butterfish? And he said, oh, it's Mulloway. I said, no, I think it's shark. I've heard that a lot of these places serve shark, like when you go to the fish and chip shop. Well,
were you on your first drink? Or
big,
second. Had a couple?
I'd had one and a half by then.
Yep.
Anyway, big debate rages. I had Bruce McAvaney at the table. He could tell me how many fish there were in the sea, but he couldn't tell me what. He couldn't tell me
he didn't
what
know. To he ask. Anyway, he ordered fish and chips.
And then Kate's Googled it, but I wouldn't take that for an answer either because I need definitive answers here. Anyway, it's cost me a very, very good bottle of red. Can listeners help me out here? 133353, what is butterfish?
You know what I mean?
I need to know. Well, what do you reckon it is?
Mulloway.
I don't think it is.
It is.
You sure?
Yeah. What did Google tell you?
Funny, it said Mulloway as well, but I wasn't convinced. No.
Google and everyone else has got it wrong.
What shark then? You know when you go, because I've been told you go into a fish shop and you ask for something and they say
hake or flake.
Oh, is that when you ask for
whatever
hake?
It is? We don't flake. Ask for it much, do you?
God. 133353. I've got tickets to go to Port and Brisbane. Only if you tell me it's not Mulloway, please. All right, there is a disclaimer
all
here.
All right.
No, it's costing me a bottle of red. I need to know. 133353. What is butterfish? Please help me.
Triple M.
What is butterfish?
You need more than that. You need someone to lie to make you right.
No, hang on. Now, let's go to Mark at Oakton. What is butterfish, Mark?
G'day, gents. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I buy my butterfish from a local fellow at the Oakdale. That's been Mark. And it's
Oh, he can't
hang
hear
on.
Me.
Say that again. What is it?
H-A-K-E.
Hake. Oh, this is good. This opens a can of worms. So Mark reckons it's hake.
Yeah, right. We couldn't quite hear him, though, but you seem to be able to understand him quite clearly.
He spelled it out, even.
Gavin from Tea Tree Gully. G'day, Gav.
How you going, mate?
Good, Gav.
What is butterfish?
Well, sorry, Dick. You lost a bottle of red, mate.
Why?
Butterfish is Mulloway.
Righto.
And your flake is shark.
That's right.
So when you
Gav.
Order flake in a fish and chip shop, they're actually serving you shark.
Yeah, it's either gummy or school shark.
All right. Thanks, Gavin. Never call again. For Paul from Felixstowe. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, Ditch. Yeah, mate. It is Mulloway, but some fish shops do the flake because Mulloway costs too much.
Ah, right. There we go. This is.
Hey, boys, guess what? Go the Mighty Blues on the weekend.
Carlton.
Yeah.
Good win for the Crowies.
It
well
was
done.
Great, yeah. Anthony at Wallaroo. G'day, Anthony.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Triple M rocks.
Thanks, mate.
Triple M rocks Wallaroo, mate.
Righto, good. Now, a man from Wallaroo knows his fish, surely.
Yeah, no, hake is the cheap substitute for a butterfish. Marina Cove Resort, we use hake down there.
Yep.
Our local fish and chip shop uses hake. The Dublin Pub, they use hake.
Right. What's hake?
Hake is a shark. It's a cheap fish.
Righto.
Yeah.
Thanks,
cheap
Anthony.
Cut.
Righto. Last one, Deb at Ethelden. Hello, Deb.
Hello. Yeah, hake isn't shark. Flake is shark.
Oh, that's right.
Hake is butterfish, and I think the hake comes from South African waters or something.
Okay, all right.
It's equivalent to Mulloway.
Thanks, Deb. See, now we're throwing South Africa into the mix. This is confusing, see. So, Ross, my father-in-law, there's no way I can pay out on this.
Yeah, I think you lost it.
There's that much confusion out there.
And there's a few crooks out there, too, apparently, that use hake as cheap flake.
You reckon?
Just to confuse people, that's what he said.
That must
be
the fish and chip shops I've been to all my life. Deb from Ethelden, you sound like a local. We're going to send you off to see Port Adelaide and Brisbane this Saturday. Thanks to the Port Adelaide Footy Club. You can get tickets now, portadelaidefc.com.au.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's pressure test. And
we've opened the purse strings here, Triple M.
It's now even bigger. Every weekday at 8 a.m., we play. for $5,000.
We are going to give a lucky listener every day at 8 o'clock the chance to win $5,000.
Triple M's 5K pressure test. Now, 8 a.m. Monday to Friday with Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Pressure test, eh?
104.7.
We are doing the 5K pressure test. Unbelievable.
Triple M.
Tuesday morning, Ruin Dits for breakfast. Well, Ru, let's have a look at the footy over the weekend. Your boys on Friday night, very, very good.
Yeah, they were early. They got the job done and smashed St Kilda in the first quarter, 5-6 to 1-1. Could have easily been a bigger margin if they'd kicked straighter. And then backed it up with a reasonable second quarter. It was 8-9 to 2-4 at halftime and pretty much all but over. Second half, St Kilda come out and showed a bit of fight. Kicked one goal, 6, I think, in the third and could have got it a bit closer. But it was an ordinary second half, wasn't it? We were calling the game. It was a bit scrappy. There was a lot of errors by both sides. But the Crows did what they needed to do early, and Big Tex was back in form. I thought he played a really good game early. He was one of the dominant players on the ground when the game was there to be won. And I thought Jenkins played a better game than he had for a while as well, using his body. He was a bit stronger in the contest, which was a good thing as well. Jono Beach's first game was a good one.
His goal was good.
Kicked a cracking goal, and the whole oval went over to him. As anyone who was there or watching TV would have seen, all 18 players on the field ran over to him and gave him a bit of a hug. In fact, Charlie Cameron took him to ground like he was tackling him. But the emotion there of what he's been through really come out in the celebration, so that was good. And then afterwards, the Gatorade shower he got, he would have needed to have, several showers to get it all out of his hair. But it was a really good part of the game, and good to watch the highlights of that over the weekend. So that was a good win for the Crows.
And then at the Alma on Saturday, who was best there? Who got 3 votes?
What, good or bad?
Either or.
There was a few in the field. Rod Jamieson would have got votes. Sean Wren would have got votes. Tony Modra might have got votes.
Right.
Would have been hard to pick. Yeah. All played well.
But that's what you play for, the old premierships, and good to see everyone back together. Now, my mob. So I'm just going to write this one off, Roo. All right.
Right.
I've got a theory at the moment, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. But it seems as though teams in the AFL at the moment, because it's so tough, can be up for about 3 weeks. And then they seem to have a downer. And every side's done it this year.
Mm.
Port Adelaide, we know that was just woeful. It was terrible. But I don't know. I just thought they just didn't. It reminded
it was
me.
Un-Port Adelaide-like?
Yes, it was. But it reminded me of the Crows North Melbourne first quarter.
Yep.
Same thing. I mean, there's no way in the world the Crows are that bad. No. But had that day down at Hobart.
Yep.
That's what it looked like. Port just weren't ready, weren't turned on, and Essendon jumped them, and they just never got back into it. No one played well. I can't think of a player that had a good day. It was just terrible. It was awful. And at the same time,
did they get going at all?
Not really. How quick were Essendon, though? They're lightning quick.
Well, they have been fast. And you heard, we have Hamish in here last week, said it was a fast deck. And you queried what a fast deck meant in footy. And they are fast. And they kicked 100 points against GWS the week before. But they were on fire and Port were horrible.
So I'm just
they?
Writing it off as that terrible game that you have.
Yep.
And I think we'll have Brisbane this week. Bounce back. Get on with it. But there's nothing good to say about Port on the weekend,
well,
unfortunately.
You got told a stat on the weekend, which is an interesting stat too.
No, I can't divulge that.
Do you want me to say
it? No, it's not good. No, I'm not allowed to say it. Well, I share that with you in confidence.
No, that's not an inconfident stat. That's just a stat that anyone who looks at the footy closely will realise.
Mm.
And the stat is that Port Adelaide have not beaten a side in the top 8 this year. Is that right?
Not only that, it's the only club.
Oh, they're the only club in the competition beaten a side in the top 8 this year.
Mm. Well, how's that for a stat?
That's not a very good stat.
No.
But that's not to say they can't change that. Kane Corns has come out and said that they need to drop a few people, and his big name is Jasper Pittard.
Oh, really?
He's been out of form since he came back from his injury, I think.
Gee, I don't know if he wouldn't be the only one.
He's got a few credits in his bank. He said Tumpus will probably go and Archie will probably go. That they're pretty easy pickings. He said that Jackson Tringo should go back and play back and probably should have on the weekend. And Dougal Howard should get a game.
Dougal Howard's a star, I reckon.
Kicked 8 on the weekend.
Yeah.
Don't kick 8 too many
very
times
talented.
In the SNFL anymore. It's not He's bad coming back from a knee reconstruction.
Yeah, very talented lad, no doubt about that. As I said, look, no panic. It was the one bad one that you have, I think. And do you agree with me, though? Do you think it seems at the moment teams are up for about 3 weeks?
Crows were out for 4 weeks. Geelong did it. GWS did it. I said, they've all done it. Some sides are just floating in and out. The comp's that even. That
yeah.
If you're not right, you can get exposed. So it was definitely a bad loss. I mean, they could have went up into the top four port, but every club can say they've had a bad loss as well. So
yeah.
Hopefully they can push out of it.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, on the weekend, one of those have you ever embarrassed your kids moments.
Oh, really?
Yes. Our poor Jack, my youngest son, who's really quiet, very polite sort of boy, doesn't say much.
And sure he's yours.
Started playing soccer because Tom, the older one, has always been playing, but Jack's, he's the bookworm.
Yeah.
He studies.
Yeah. You sure he's yours?
We're not quite sure. we've had a urine test.
Looks like you, Dits.
Anyway, so he's doing law and commerce, so always got his head buried in the books.
Urine test.
I've done all of those things just to check that he's ours, DNA. Anyway, on the weekend, so he started playing soccer this year, which is great. He gets out now, plays for one of the uni teams in the amateur divisions. And he said, we're playing up at Blackwood, so I get up there. I'm the proud dad. I want to go and watch my boy play.
Mm.
Jack's 23 years of age, so it's probably time I stopped embarrassing him now. But I didn't mean to. I was trying to help, you know, when you're trying to help.
What were you doing?
So anyway, what happened was, because it's the amateurs, there aren't many people there. There's just a couple of girlfriends.
Have goal umpires or anything, so what were you doing?
Nothing. I was standing on the side watching. Anyway, someone's kicked the ball over the fence. One of the players hoofed it over the fence. And up at Blackwood, the perimeter was like kicking it park. Out into the...
parklands, reserve or something.
Reserve, yeah, like the national park.
Yeah.
It's all trees and scrub and whatever. I thought, gee, I'll need help to find this ball. So I'll get it. So I've run over. And the fence is a bit high.
Oh, no.
So I've started scaling the fence.
And scaling the fence? Yeah, what was it?
It was pretty high. I had to climb up. And there they're all waiting for the ball. Anyway, I get caught halfway. You know when you're sort of sideways and I'm hoiking your leg over, right?
What were you wearing? Tracky pants?
No, I had
my jeans?
Had jeans on. Very expensive jeans, by the way.
Hard to throw your leg over.
Anyway,
jeans
it
on.
Is. So my left hand got caught on barbed wire. One of the barbs has gone into the webbing.
Barbed wire?
That hurt. Yeah. So I don't want to move my hand because I could rip my hand open here, my webbing. So I've got barbed wire stuck in my left hand. My right leg is I'm trying to get it over the fence. Well, my ankle gets caught on barbed wire.
No,
the jeans, right?
You're kidding.
So I'm bloody hell, this isn't good. And then somehow, underneath my crutch got caught on some barbed wire. So I've now got three bits of me caught on top of the fence. And I'm sideways on top
with
of the fence.
With two soccer sides watching.
And everyone watching going, mate, how long are you going to be? Can you get the ball for us? So in the end, and I couldn't move. And it seemed like 10 minutes, but it was probably 30 seconds. I'm laying there going, how am I going to get? I'm stuck. So I just leap. Right, and the barbed wire stayed in the crutch of my jeans and has ripped the full length of my jeans.
Oh, no.
This is rigid itch. So my bum is now hanging out of my jeans, right? And I mean, not just a bit of it, the whole thing. It's ripped to shreds. So, but didn't give up, Rue. I went and found the ball. I got the ball.
Kicked it back over.
I had to get back over the fence, didn't I? So I thought, this is good. So I'm stuck. So I watched for a while through the fence because I couldn't bring myself to get back over. But
just in case another ball come over.
But eventually I've climbed back over and got caught again and totally ripped the jeans off.
Oh, God.
So, but there's still about 40 minutes to go in this game. So I've stood with my back to the fence.
Because your undies were hanging out.
Yeah, my undies were hanging out.
Did you have some decent ones
and
on?
I had to leave. I don't even want them for a couple of days. I had to leave the soccer and go straight down to Goor with the family. And that's all I had with me was this pair of jeans. So it was a very long weekend.
What, you were planning on wearing same jeans for the whole long weekend?
No, I had some tracky pants because you lounge around in the shack in tracky pants.
Yeah, and put your jeans on for the pub.
But anyway, so to Jacko, I'm sorry, mate. I'm embarrassed. Dad embarrassed you a bit on the weekend.
Mm. And that's the first time that's ever happened.
And the last, yeah. But I was trying my best,
that's fair
tried
enough.
To do them a little bit. Bloody good pair of jeans too.
Yeah.
Gone. Yeah.
The old Levi's.
Rod and Gun. Very expensive.
Who?
I don't know. Some flash mob.
Rod and Gun.
Rod and Gun.
Who bought you them?
Now called Torn to Shreds.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruin Dits. Rue, I said a few days ago that I was really keen to talk to our Attorney General, General John Rau.
Yep.
And this is on the back of our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, as you know, came out and said he wanted to, I think, override our laws, get tougher on parole. John Rau hit back and said that the politicians should really keep out of this and leave it to the legal fraternity. And, you know, you and I had a discussion. I personally believe the Prime Minister should have the power. I think if things aren't getting done, if we're worried about the terrorism situation we saw in Melbourne last week, someone needs to do something about it.
I think a lot of people are frustrated. It's that people get out and have so many chances.
Yep.
And I think
general population would like things to be a bit tougher.
Yeah. Well, our Attorney General, John Rowe, is on the line. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I was interested in your comments last week about the Prime Minister. And I think you can gauge at the moment there is a lot of public sentiment on the back of these terrorist attacks. Why?
And understandably
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so why yeah. is it not right for the Prime Minister to speak out the way he did?
Well, the first point is, in terms of who makes a decision, I guess in the end, as long as the decision is informed by some sort of information rather than intuition or a hunch or something,
yeah,
then
absolutely.
That's fair enough. But my experience, because in South Australia we did used to have a situation where people who were sentenced to life imprisonment, their parole had to be dealt with by Cabinet. And what happened over time was Cabinet, in the end, would basically almost refuse every parole, not necessarily on the basis of facts, but on the basis of the potential kickback
That's
if
right.
some ratbag is let out. Ratbag, in the sense they've committed some horrible crime, at, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And the outcry, people are very reticent. So you don't actually have informed decision-making. What you have is decision-making with a view to what the impact will be
yep.
in the media. Now, that's not the way to do things properly, in my opinion.
No, it's not.
I agree.
But we had a case here in South Australia. You were under Mike Rann, the Premier, at the time when he made the statement that Bevan Spencer Morana will never, ever be released from prison. Now, there was no public outcry. Not one South Australian said he can't do that. So there are cases and there are times where it's warranted, surely.
Yeah, look, I agree, but it should be based on a risk assessment of these individuals. Nobody, certainly not me, is arguing anything about people who are a danger to the community being allowed out.
Right.
I'm certainly not in that camp. But the question is, though, how do you identify who these individuals are? And are you using something which is got some value, or are you just saying, I don't like the look of this chap, I'm not letting him out?
But the case
and it's broader than parole as well, fellas, because, look, parole only comes up when a person's been sentenced to a term of imprisonment and they're getting near the end of it. And basically the idea of parole is to make sure that they don't just drop into society with no preparation. There's also the question about people on bail, that is where they're charged, but they haven't been actually convicted of anything.
Yep.
And then there's also the question of people who've not been charged with anything, but we are very, very concerned about the risk that they might present. And this gets you into another very tricky area, which is criminal intelligence, you know, or national security intelligence. You've got to be very careful how broadly you spread that information for fear of having sources identified.
I don't know if you want to make a comment on this one, but Steve Pallaras, the former DPP, wrote an article in The Advertiser, and I agreed with one thing he said about getting tougher on parole. He said parole is to incentivise prisoners to behave themselves and want to get out early. He said that, let's say a person is given a 10-year sentence, the incentive should be that they should behave so they get out at the end of that 10-year sentence, rather than let's incentivise them to behave so 10 becomes 6.
Well, I've got a couple of comments about that. First one is that the courts determine the sentence, not the correctional services people or me. And the courts, if they sentence you to 10 years, then 10 years it is. That's the maximum you spend in. It's not the minimum you spend in.
Yep.
That's the first point. Second point is, when people get out of prison, particularly if they've been in for a while, if there is not some attempt to prepare them to behave in a proper way when they leave.
Civil manner, yep.
A civil manner, like, you know, preparing them to try and get them work or preparing them to just behave like a normal person. If you just push them out the door after their sentence is over with no preparation, how long do you reckon it's going to be before they're not back in there?
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I think the reaction here at the moment is because of what happened in Melbourne, where the public's been told that fella, the terrorist last week, was, you know, before the courts 10 different times for fairly serious things, only
very
to be told, he was let out on parole or he's on bail. I think that's where
I can understand why people are concerned. But look, as far as the Prime Minister's call is concerned, my view is if the Commonwealth have a concern about anybody who is in our prison system, if they want to actually come to an arrangement with the state where we have those people not permitted to be paroled or whatever, we're very happy to talk to them about that. But the Commonwealth basically holds most of this information. ASIO, the international connections they have with the overseas security agencies. That's all Commonwealth information. We don't need to know the information necessarily, but they've got to tell us who they're worried about.
Yeah, sure. All right, John, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for the explanation.
No worries.
Thanks. Good on you, John.
Our Attorney General, John Rau.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruindits.
Righto, Mel the Button Pusher. We've got Alice the Wag and the Yummy Mummy Ange, married to the package, Mr. South Australia. Right, first up, a topic. Mel, you're in foal at the moment.
Yes, I love that saying.
You've got your little two-year-old Sinead, and you've got another one on the way.
Yes.
Drinking when pregnant. Mm. What are the do's and don'ts?
Look, I'm sure there's a lot in the medical fraternity who would say don't drink at all. My personal take, I could be wrong, probably steer away from it in the first trimester and then one or two every now and then. Probably not go your hardest. One or two every now and then is probably not going to hurt anybody.
But
I don't
know,
think after that.
Any of your friends or in history, anything you've read, has it affected children or not?
It does. Fetal alcohol syndrome is a thing. It can affect your facial features and...
Facial features?
Yes, yes.
My mum must have drunk heaps.
Oh, I mean, we've all got stories of knowing someone who did drink and the kids turned out... I mean, my mum said she had a craving for beer when she had my brother. So she actually drank a fair whack of beer. Mm. And Alan's much smarter than I am.
And he came out
He came out just fine.
He came out half cut.
But then again, I think there's some people who could be really unlucky. So I don't know. It's personal. I think sometimes you're playing with fire. And if you want to steer away from it just to not even have a risk, probably pretty smart.
And you've had two children. Mm-hmm. What did you do?
The first 20 weeks, I didn't do anything. Mm. And I spoke to my obstetrician with James, my firstborn, and I just said, look, you know, I just love a drink, you know, just like, even at dinner, if you go out to dinner with friends on a Saturday night, can I just have a glass of wine, you know? And he said, it's absolutely fine. He said, one or two glasses, you know, if you're out at dinner, he goes, you just don't want to be drinking every night.
Right.
And he just said, look, we have to say no alcohol, or because even if you say limit alcohol, but people that would drink a slab on a weekend go, oh, I'll just drink half a slab.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like I just said, some people just don't get it. So as a general rule, he said, you know what, one or two glasses here or there will not hurt you, but you probably don't want to get pissed.
No.
No.
Alice the Wag, what do your friends do in this situation?
Well, I don't really have any friends that have babies, but I feel like I'll still drink.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot.
Right.
But it's probably one of the biggest, like except for the baby actually coming out, it's probably the biggest turn off to get pregnant for me.
Is to have 9 months.
It just doesn't sound very fun.
Will you adopt, will you?
Probably. Just so I can stay on the frothies.
Right. All right, priorities. Yeah. Now, Alice the Wag, you've been away all weekend in southern New South Wales?
Yeah.
On a hens weekend.
Yeah.
Tell us, I'm just interested to know, now, who are the crazier? Is it girls on a hens weekend or is it boys on a bucks weekend or a bucks night out? Who's crazier?
I think it's a different kind of crazy. So we definitely gave it a bit of a crack.
Mm.
I'm a bit dusty this morning. But I think girls is very organised fun. So I woke up and, you know, there's pork in the slow cooker for dinner already and they've already organised the party games and the glasses have labels on them and, you know, breakfast is all laid out and everything.
Gee,
whereas
God.
I said, I literally stood in the kitchen like hungover and just said, this would be so different if it was boys.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you just wake up, chuck a slab in the table and go, let's do this.
Mm. We wake up and say, right, strippers out, come on, get it, you got to leave now. Go.
See, I actually was really disappointed. We didn't have a stripper.
Didn't you?
Oh. No, and I think that's
Look
really
shattering.
Look
how disappointed you are.
I know. And I've only been to one other hens party and there was a stripper, but he didn't take his jocks off.
Right.
And I was just like, what is the point of that?
Oh, come on, people are having
Keep
breakfast.
Keep it clean, please. Righto, Ange. Are the girls crazier?
Yeah, I think boys are probably... are a bit crazier and they probably do more, you know, like with the strippers and, you know, the crazy horse in the palace and, you know, those sorts of things. Because, you know, I was saying with the package, you know, he just smelt of off cream that poured all over him or whatever his t-shirt, I just threw it out. Whereas I think girls just, we have...
Did he spill his dessert on him?
Must have.
Old strawberries and ice cream.
Yeah.
Strawberries and cream.
Whereas girls, I just think, have girly fun and, you know.
Don't What's girly else? Fun?
Oh, you know, just laugh and have fun and just, you know, as Alice was saying, have games and stuff. Whereas, I don't know.
Pin the penis on
you
the
see,
boy.
You see all, the young, that all that see stuff. The, see the young ones down Hindley Street, you know, with the pink boas and...
Now, can we please tell girls to stop wearing a veil when they're out? I think it's a stupid look.
I agree.
Yeah, it's not great.
You didn't do that on the weekend,
no,
did you?
No, but I did get a, like a headband and it had two penises on it.
Oh, sure.
That wiggled.
Right, rabbit's ears.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was so funny.
Mel?
Yeah, all the penis accessories do get pretty tiresome. Mm. Penis straws, penis headband, God, all that. I think hen's nights give previously very quiet women license to go mental sometimes. Like you see the quiet bird go absolutely off the rails at hen's nights, which I love. But I've noticed there's either it's off the rails or it's really sedate.
Really
I went to one where she didn't even have a night. It was a surfing day, like a lesson. And we went to the beach and we did a surfing lesson, which was bloody horrible.
Right.
And so I made everyone go to the pub. So I don't know. They're all different.
Yeah, different.
All right. Thanks, Angels.
Well done,
thanks.
Girls.
Thanks.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6 degrees outside, 18, mostly sunny today, thanks to Adelaide Tools. On Saturday morning, Roo, KG had an interesting story.
Yeah, he said that the SANFL is in a bit of trouble, we know that, and three clubs in particular in financial trouble and have started talks or had talks potentially about amalgamating, which... And we've already had that happen once with Woodville and West Torrens.
Yep.
And he's saying it could happen again.
All right. Is there any truth to this? Let's go to KG now and find out exactly how much there is in this story. KG, good morning.
Good morning, Dits. Good morning, Roo. I'm standing by my story.
Right. Yes. Which three clubs are we talking about?
We're talking about South Adelaide, West Adelaide and Glenelg. As I said on Triple M at the weekend, they have had informal talks. As we know, sadly, very sadly, that the three clubs are in really bad financial strife. Westies have had to sell half their club. It's been well documented about the Bays, which is sad. I love the Bays and South Adelaide, who haven't won a premiership since 64, are also struggling financially. Now, you know, they wouldn't do their... And I also said Saturday morning, for goodness sake, on the program, that the three clubs will deny it. They're not going to come out and say, oh, yes, we're having informal amalgamation talks in case we can't rectify the situation. Of course they're going to deny it. But I'm standing by my story. They have had informal talks that if things go pear-shaped, this is the alternative.
You were very confident when you said it too, KG, and when I heard that, I said to Ditz this morning, you weren't guessing, you weren't taking a punt here, you were absolutely 110% sure of your contacts.
Exactly. I wouldn't have gone down this track knowing full well that how much I love the sample and how much I want my blokes to survive. I wouldn't have gone down this track, but I had a job to do and I got it from a very good source, and I back my source then, and I'll back what I've said to Ruin Dits. No question about that. Look, how would you like to see Glenelg, South Adelaide or West Adelaide die?
Well, the thing is, KG, look, there are two stories here. Whether they are talking to each other, and you say they are, so I accept that. The other part of the story is if it is to happen. See, to me, that's the death of a club. You know, if you're one of those clubs, I mean, that's the end of your club as you exist. It really is. I don't care what anyone says. I haven't seen an amalgamation work properly
yet. What are Woodville West Torrens like these days?
Right. Now
go on, that's KG. A good point, but that's a very good point, Ruben Dis, because a lot of West Torrens supporters, when that happened, fell off the perch, and because they said it was mainly orientated towards Woodville. And I know a lot of West Torrens supporters haven't been back.
Yep, and the and Woodville people as well, KG. It's based at Woodville. And look, to Woodville and West Torrens people listening this morning, I know a lot of them and I really admire and love a lot of them. They are, but it's never the same. And we've seen a lot of amateur clubs now amalgamate, KG. Yep. It's not the same. It isn't.
No, it's not. No, look, it's as I said on Triple M at the weekend, I would be bitterly disappointed to see West Adelaide lose their sole identity. Look, I've grown up with the club. I'm a West End boy. I love the red and the blacks, and I'd be devastated if it happened. But reality is reality, and as I said, I wouldn't have said what I said if I didn't get it from a very good source.
Mm. Which club initiated the talks? Do you know, KG?
I think it might have been South Adelaide.
Might have been South Adelaide.
Yeah.
See, that's it's a surprise to me because look at the area they've got down there. And I'm not saying they haven't tried.
Huge catchment.
You know, don't get me wrong, they try incredibly hard, but we should be able to make this work in this town.
Exactly
South Adelaide's
right.
got all of that southern area. It should be a super club. It really should.
Mm.
Yeah, they haven't won a premiership since 64, and I love South Adelaide. I umpired that game, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Neil Curley, captain coach.
You got him over the line against Port Adelaide, KG.
Yeah, that was the other pleasing aspect of it all. As a Port Adelaide player ran past me in the 64 grand final, he said to me, KG, you are bloody cheating. And I said, you know what, son? And I'm doing a bloody good job of it too, my friend.
Bit of sledging back in 64.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, good on you, KG.
Right.
Look, it's a very good story. It's an interesting one. And we'll follow this in the days to come. Well done, KG.
Go in the ditch room. Have a good day, boys.
Well,
bye.
Okay.
What I have learnt with KG over the 40 years, if he says I've got a big, big story to drop, there's something to it.
He said South Adelaide. He knows.
And he's backing himself.
Yeah, 110%. He knows what he's talking about.
But it would be the end, Roo. Like, you're no longer West Adelaide at Richmond or South Adelaide at Norlunga. You become a different identity, a different club. And
yeah.
I think that'd be sad. Look, something has to happen. We know the SANFL is heading in the wrong direction. Something needs to happen. But I don't know if that's the answer.
Yeah, all other state leagues are struggling as well. It's not the SANFL. You look at the VFL, what's happened to it. You look at the WAFL.
Is the AFL doing enough for these leagues, Roo? Does enough money filter down?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. It's a tough question. You have to consider lots of things for that, don't you?
Yep, you do. All right,
I mean,
but
in some ways they need to stand on their own two feet, but then in a lot of ways, the AFL sort of ripped the heart out of those leagues as well. So.
Yeah, good stuff from KG, though. Good story. Hey, $5,000 is up for grabs right now. 1-3-3-5-3. Now, we're going to have our three callers on the line, Roo, and the best one, the best story gets through.
Okay.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
So much pressure.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's pressure test. And
we've opened the purse strings here,
yes.
Triple M.
It's now even bigger.
Oh, the pressure! I can't take it!
Triple M's 5K pressure test with Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing this every day now.
We are doing it every day this week, and we'd love to give it away too soon.
Righto.
Just keep talking about it.
Righto. We've got three callers on the line. We're going to speak to each of them and then pick the best one. Lee from Hillcrest. Lee, good morning. What are you up to today?
Good morning, fellas. First of all, I've got to take my daughter to school, pick two of her girlfriends up on the way through. Then after that, I've got to go to the airport, pick up my two greyhound pups that we've waiting for the flight to land. Then I've got to go from there to Gawler. From there, I've got to stay at the property for a couple of hours because the greyhound trainer's wife's crook and he's going to take her to the hospital.
Right.
Then I've got to be
We're
back
off at
home
9 o'clock,
by 2
Lee.
O'clock.
Righto. All right, hang on, Lee. Stay on the line there.
You got a busy day. Let's go to Sean from Salisbury Plains. G'day, Sean.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good. What are you up to today?
Yeah, well, I do air conditioning, so I've got to go serve some people split to make them blow.
Right, okay.
Good on you, Sean. Stay there.
Let's go to Salisbury Downs again. Frank, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, how are you, guys?
What are you up to today?
Just living the dream, driving a truck.
Driving a truck?
Right.
Waiting to get loaded.
Right.
What do you deliver?
Rubble, all types of whatever you need delivered.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Frank. Stay there on the line. I think there's only one winner, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think if we go back to him, I think he'd still be talking. Are you there, Lee? Hello. Yes, Lee.
Yeah, Lee, you're on. You're on for five grand.
I didn't tell you also I got to book a restaurant for my wife on Thursday night, plus get her a haircut.
Good on you, Lee.
Yeah,
you're
left the
best
to last.
Right. Bad luck to Sean and Frank. Nice try, but Lee's our winner.
Yep.
Now, Lee, this is for $5,000. All right?
Yep. And every correct answer will be $100 if you don't get the five.
Righto.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
In 30 seconds, name 10 of the Crows' 1997 Premiership team.
Okay, here we go. Alan.
Who?
Alan.
Jeez, I've lost there. Jarman.
Yep.
McDermott.
Yep.
I'm not a Crows man either. Pittman.
Yep.
Robin.
Yep.
What's that place? Oh, God.
No, you got me. But sorry,
Lee. Gee.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Four correct. All right. It was a hard one. And again, when you're under pressure, when you're asked to do it, it is a tough one. All right, Lee, stay on the line and we'll make sure we get your money to you. Rue, you've given away $400. It's actually $10 per correct answer this week.
Well, someone should tell us that.
Yeah. Right,
so I've given away 400.
Yeah.
We've got to give him 400.
But Lee's busy. He's got plenty. He'll spend it, don't worry.
He's spending petrol today.
Crikey. How's his lifestyle going? But it is actually, because we're giving it away every day, the boss has just told me it's $10.
Okay.
So that'll come out of Rue's pay packet this week,
right,
which is good.
I'll cover that.
Who could have he said? Troy Bond?
Joy Bond, Matty Connell, Chad Rintoul, Karen Jamison, Rod Jamison,
Aaron Keating,
Clay Sampson, Andrew McLeod, Simon Goodwin.
Yeah.
And a few others.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they look like from Saturday night.
Yeah.
Sean Wren.
Ben Hart.
Ben Hart.
There you go.
Keep going.
Yeah. No, Lee, I thought it might have been one that was gettable this morning.
It was
gettable. Because they were all here on the weekend.
That was gettable.
They were in the news a bit.
104.7 Triple M.
6 degrees at the moment, 18, mostly sunny today, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Yeah, on Triple M on Saturday afternoons when the footy's on, before the footy starts, they have the Saturday rub, and one of the men that... been holding it together this year is Brian Taylor. He used to do sports commentary back in the early 90s, Dits, and when he was a young pup.
I think this was when he was cutting his teeth.
Yeah, cutting his teeth for 3UZ, and they found all the tapes of some of his performances in the early days, and this is one of his best.
This is going back to 3UZ 1991. So what we've done with all the other vaults, we've focused on some of the big interviews. Nadia Comaneci, of course, George Foreman.
George Foreman twice. Listen, shut up.
Guys. So what we've done is we've gone away from interview bristle and we've gone in-show bristle. 14th of Feb, 1991. This is Valentine's Day.
Early on.
Enjoy.
Currently 19 degrees, 3Z, the good sports, 21 to 6. Till 7 a.m, you're kicking goals with Brian Taylor and the greater 3UZ Good Sports.
Dave Loughton, good morning.
G'day, big fella.
A lot of sport news around with the golf happening. It's really dominated the papers today. I've already been through the papers and golf has absolutely dominated the papers today.
Yeah, I reckon.
See, the Australian Masters this year, in previous years, they've had a set up there where the players go and enjoy lunch free of charge, you know, on IMG's bill, I suppose, and they've always had that. But this year, they're not going to supply lunch for the players, as last year one player had 24 lunches in one day.
That wasn't Chris Patton, was it?
Well, you'd reckon it would be, but had 24 lunches in one day. Must have had a few mates. 3UZ, the good sports. Who am I? 347-3477, toll free 0808-033-430. I was born in 1936 on August 21st in the United States. Brian of Epping. Brian, who do you think it might be?
Pancho Gonzalez.
No, bad luck, Brian, and gee, I've stumped them this morning. You're on your way to work too, Brian, I suppose.
That's right, Brian.
A lot of people getting up at this time, aren't there?
Sure are.
Do you miss the traffic? Do you leave right now? Or?
No, I go by public transport.
Oh, well, you're laughing, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that reliable these days?
Not too bad.
Okay. Good on you, Brian. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Greater 3UZ Good Sports.
Let's take a caller on the line. It's Dan of South Melbourne, and he has a St. Valentine's Day greeting for someone in particular. How are you, Stan?
Good, how are you going, mate?
Oh, pretty good, Stan. Who do you want to send this one to, Stan?
Carol Smith.
Carol Smith, yes.
Yep.
What would you like to say?
I'd just like to tell her I think the world of her.
Oh, good on you, Stan.
She's great, and keep up the good work she's doing.
Okay, Stan, well, let's hope she's heard that. And anyone else that would like to call in today on this St. Valentine's Day. Thanks a lot, Stan. Okay, let's go to Tracy of Reservoir now, and she has a St. Valentine's Day greeting for someone in particular. I wonder who it is. Tracy, who is it for?
For my husband, Gary. It's his wedding anniversary.
Oh, how sweet.
And I wanted to say happy anniversary and happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, sensational, Tracy. And would he be listening at the moment? Where would he be?
I'm pretty sure he's in the shower because he's bought me a mystery tour for my anniversary present, and we have to leave at 7:30.
Oh, really? So what? How does that actually work?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think you go out, you pay for your ticket, you don't know where your destination is.
Is it by bus or train?
No, it's by plane.
By plane?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting for you.
Yeah.
Well, have a nice day, and I hope you both have a nice day.
Thanks very much.
3Z the good sports. It's 14 past 6 here, and let's have a bit of Manfred Mann. Doo-wah, diddy-diddy.
There she was, just walking down the street.
Who am I? Ken of Frankston. Ken, who do you think I am?
Would it be Tamaglio?
Who?
Tamaglio.
Who?
From America?
No, bad luck there, Ken. Let's take another caller, and this time it's David of Bayswater. David, it's a pretty tough question, this one, isn't it?
Hello, Brian.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is incorrect. Bad luck there, David. Richard, you're next.
I was going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar myself.
No, bad luck, Richard.
Okay, thank you.
Good on you. And let's take Bob now, and Bob's gone, so that's another one down the drain. And Norm on a car phone. Whereabouts are you, Norm? Norm's gone. Norm's not anywhere at the moment. So we've got through all those callers, and we've finally got through a morning without giving away the Who Am I.
Till 7 a.m., you're with Brian Taylor and the Greater 3UZ Good Sports.
Come on, Brizzle. You can't keep doing this.
Destroying me.
Lots of magnificent takeouts for me in the best vault so far. What I loved, I think it was Stan you were addressing when you said, a lot of people getting up at this time. It's the morning. That's when people get up.
And Jim, is the public transport reliable these days?
And then just a lot, nice bridge between a couple of segments. Here's Manfred Mann with some do-wah-diddy-diddy.
And then Tracy said, I want to think this out to my Valentine. My husband is in the shower, and then Brian's gone,
She said she booked a mystery tour. Oh, what was that? Is it a bus?
How does that work?
Is it a bus?
Brian, that is as funny as anything I've ever heard.
Tracy on this mystery tour.
Oh, there you go. Bit of gold again. I don't know how much longer they're going to torture him for, but it's giving everyone a lot of fun on Saturday afternoons on Triple M.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.